Hear the word of God from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let your words speak to us this day and in this season. Help raise our expectations as you offer an amazing gift, and be with us by your Spirit in this hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, routine is the easiest thing to do. We get into routine and it's very difficult to move from it. We like what is familiar. And even when opportunities come our way, whether they're opportunities that will extend us beyond our usual borders into places, cultures, where we have not been, or where that opportunity is simply a walk next door to our neighbors or to the office next to ours, we hesitate. Now, oftentimes when we're asked to and challenged in that way to go outside our routine, we have reasons we can't. We lack resources of energy or time, financial resources, and even resources of skills and talents. There's nothing that we could bring to that situation. There's nothing we can do there. I'm just having a hard enough time keeping up with all my responsibilities now. So even when we're nudged by the Holy Spirit, even when we're called in some way to go beyond who we are now and even to change, it becomes difficult. Isn't it interesting to think about that in the pattern of our lives as we begin Advent? The word Advent means the beginning or the introduction of something notable or extraordinary. And so we're looking at a time where we expect the extraordinary, where we expect that things will change and they will not be as they have been, but notable instead. And that's what we expect in Advent. God comes in the form of Jesus Christ. God underwraps in this infant in a manger. And we have expectations, at least in that story, that things will be different. Now, we have routines, and we know that those routines change in some way during Advent. We may be out shopping a little bit more. Our food might be just a tad bit richer and more plentiful. We have routines that change because when we decorate, we have to put some of the stuff away, right? And maybe even for your tree, you have to move the furniture. Anyone? Yeah, okay, you've done that kind of thing. And there are lights on the house, and we get out the ladder, and we set out the things, and we even change the routine, and we put out some of those kind of worn, tired decorations because we don't put them out anymore because they look good, but because of the memories that they hold. And we know that those are the routines that will be there. And we'll go maybe out for dinner a little bit more. We'll visit people's houses. We'll sit and talk a little bit more. Maybe you had something else that when you discussed during our greeting time, something that you anticipate for December, that you'll invite family, that you'll travel to family. So we have some expectations that things will be different. But it's interesting to ask the question, what might God expect? In this next few weeks, we're going to be talking about God under wraps and what God is in the midst of Jesus Christ. And so next week, we're going to talk about God being dangerous. And then God being jealous and God being faithful. But today we talk about God being expectant. Now, what does God expect? Well, we get kind of a clue when we look at the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Now, you'll remember that at the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, and this is still in chapter 1, we begin with the announcement that the father Zechariah hears that his wife Elizabeth will become pregnant and they will have a child. Well, Zechariah didn't believe the angel and questioned the one who brought the announcement, and so he was not able to speak until the child was born. But we find that Elizabeth, who was older and was never expected to have a baby, is pregnant. And then we read the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and Mary becoming pregnant. And then we have this scene of sheer joy when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, Mary finds herself pregnant. And it is amazing. It's so amazing. Elizabeth is so amazed. She is filled with the Holy Spirit of God and exclaims in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." In that meeting, it is God moving in the past and in the present and in the future. Elizabeth speaks for those women like Hannah and Sarah from the Old Testament who were barren, who had not had children until their old age, and then those children went on to do remarkable things. They speak together of expectant joy in the present, and Mary represents the one who will come to save us, to set people free. And she goes on to sing an amazing song about what this child will do. And there they are, in joy in the midst of what God is doing in their lives. And it's an amazing role reversal, because Elizabeth, the one of age who should have been sending out the wisdom and the encouragement to the young woman, is instead blessing her and giving glory to God for what she carries in her womb. It is a joyful scene. And it is a scene full of expectation, because God has shown up in a fresh revelation. It's not the prophet speaking. It's not the songs. It's not the words of old. God has shown up in the midst of birth and in the midst of new beginnings. And what does God expect in the midst of the expectation of these women and in the expectation of our holiday celebrations this Christmas? Well, God is an expectant gift giver. God is sitting on the edge of the seat waiting to see how we will respond, how we will accept the gift that is given. Now, I'm thinking a few years ago when my family decided this crazy thing that everyone would give one homemade gift. So we drew names. And my brother Ted got my name. Now, I was immediately worried, because these are Ted's skills. He can knock down houses and excavate holes. He can pour cement with the best of them. And he can drive steel piling. That's what he does for a living. It's what he does well. And I'm thinking, what in the world could he ever give me that I would welcome? And so, on the day that our family gathered for Christmas, he was smiling. He was excited because he had a good gift. He told me, "This is good. You're going to love this gift." And when it came time for gift giving, he asked my other brother to go out in the garage and help him bring the gift in. Well, they brought in these old metal 5-gallon buckets. And in the they were weighted down as they brought them in. And each of the buckets were these garden markers. Now, these were not your typical garden markers. So, because first of all, he used half-inch tie rod, steel tie rod. You know what I'm talking about? So they were about 30 inches tall, like this tie rod. Then he took quarter-inch steel, torch cut it, and welded it to the top. Then he engraved with something the names of vegetables, and he spray painted them red and green and orange. I could pick up one at a time, like with both hands. And I'm like, and he was so excited, and he talked about how long it took him to make them and how wonderful they were. I'm like, "Ted, these are great. These are great." And then I loaded him in the car. Bump, bump, one at a time. I took him home. I stacked him in the garage. And when spring came, I said, "Well, got a gift, got to use it." So I took them out to the garden one at a time in the wheelbarrow. And then I put them, and I'll tell you, they went in easy. They went in real easy. And I have to tell you, those garden stakes were amazing. You could string a string 50 feet. No, you could string cable 50 feet on those things. They would not fall down. You could hold up any kind of plant that was growing up. They were amazing. It was not a gift I thought I needed, but it was a gift that was pretty powerful in the midst of a growing season. And I was thankful. And one of the things I remember most about that gift was how excited he was to have thought that up, to have created it, and to have given it to me. Now, have you ever had that? You know, like where you, it's not so much the gift of receiving, but it's that you have something that you know is going to be great. Maybe you already have it concealed in your home. Perhaps you're making it, and if you are making it, get busy, because you can't wait till the last minute. You know, you have this thing, and you know that whoever opens it is going to be filled with joy, even if they have to fake it. They're going to just love this. It's kind of like, you know, have you ever had a child who is just like jumping up and down and squealing as you're opening the gift, because they know it is so fabulous. I have a poodle made of black golf balls that was like, oh, this is great. You know, I was like, yeah, that's great. And the gift giver gets excited. And this is God's expectation, that we will open the gift, and God is excited about that. We read in Isaiah, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we say, all right, Jesus. Jesus will bring peace. Jesus will bring silent nights. Jesus will be our comfort in these cold months. Jesus, that little baby in the manger. Ah, Jesus. God expects that we're going to have a little more enthusiasm. God is like the spouse who has the gift that really is going to work this year and knows it. God is like those children who are finally paying attention to who their parents really are and have just the right gift. God is like that child jumping up and down in excitement as they hand a grandparent a gift because they know it is fabulous. They made it themselves. God is that expectant, that when we would open the gift, we would know not only our joy, but the joy of the giver. We have just a little glimpse of that joy in Mary and Elizabeth. We couldn't be there, but can you imagine the smiles on their faces, the tears of joy, their hands reaching out, touching one another on the stomach, and exclamations of joy. Now, we know in their stories that there will be the joy of birth, and the sorrow of life and death will come for both of them. But in that moment, they understand what a tremendous gift they have received. And they celebrate, and the giver re-celebrates as well. And, you know, God not only expects to be the gift giver with joy, but God expects us to receive the gift. Now, we've all had that awkward gift, right? That gift where we say thank you and are already calculating where we will re-gift it, or how long we will have to display it in the house before they forget. You've got those. I've got those too. But none of you have given me those gifts, of course. But we all have those gifts that we receive in that way with some hesitancy and some awkwardness. But the gift that God gives us in Jesus is a gift that is meant especially for us. And the thing is, there's no way that we can prepare for it. We can't work for it. We can't give our way to it. We can't decorate our way to it or even sing our way to it. It's a gift that's simply out there. And it could change our lives, and God expects that we will receive it. How might we receive it in this season? We can receive it in the silence, if you can find some purposely this season. We can receive it in prayer. We can receive it in songs, because we know all the words to the songs playing now. We can receive it in times of worship, in times of hospitality, no matter how grand or how humble. The gift of Christ is waiting for us. And we can sing, as Charles Wesley wrote the first hymn we sang, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee." God expects that the gift of Jesus Christ will change us. Now, I know that's hard, because for centuries upon centuries, we have fought that idea that we might be changed by the action of God. I just picked out a prophet, and I read a little bit of a lament, the lament of God in Hosea. This is from chapter 11. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me." God goes on to say, "It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I'd led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them, but they would not return." God has been offering the gift of love and care for the existence of humanity, and we still struggle. I was struck by a few words from a liturgy that was read at the community Thanksgiving service last Sunday, and actually Deacon Loretta read this. It comes from an address that Abraham Lincoln gave in the midst of the Civil War, 1863, when he was proclaiming that there would be a Thanksgiving Day, the last Thursday in November. And this is what he said: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation ever has grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Can we accept the gift of Jesus Christ even now, as over this weekend we think about the rioting and the protests from people who are frustrated and afraid and tired and maybe even hopeless? As we think about people in the midst of this plentiful nation, who do not have resources to be comfortable, who live day to day, we think about this gift of Jesus in the midst of a world where there is authoritarian rule and greed and war and terrorism and random killings in places that seem to be safe. And we might say, how can this world be changed? What can this gift do? It is easy to think that nothing can be done. In fact, this morning I heard on the news that today, more than any time in history, it is easy to pick a fight, easier than ever before. You just put an opinion out on Facebook or Twitter, you're done. You got a fight on your hands. Can we change? Can we change? Can this world change? Mary and Elizabeth were changed in ways that they never expected by the very coming of God, one who had given up hope and one who was filled with hope. And the same can happen for us in terms of change we can find when we pick up the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us might say, well, I come to worship and I'm going to light Advent candles. I'm going to put out my nativity set, and we can stand back and smugly say, look at all those people celebrating Christmas and they don't even know the reason for the season. But for each of us, the reason is a gift that is offered freely. And if we stay with the same routines and expect that 2015 will be the same as 2014 every day and day out, and when we're nudged by the Holy Spirit and pushed and pulled toward acts that reflect the glory of Jesus Christ and the kingdom that is now, then we're not picking up the gift. God is the expectant giver. God expects us to receive, and God expects through the power of Jesus Christ, we, our hearts, our minds, our lives will be changed, and the world will be changed by that. Let's celebrate this new beginning, this extraordinary time. Let's celebrate what God expects. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we come before you in this Advent season. And we give thanks. We celebrate the gift of your Son. But during this season, help us to realize that we are celebrating and giving thanks to more than just tradition, but that in Christ coming to this earth, that it means more than just change on a global scale, but it means that there can be change within our hearts as well. Help us to approach this season with that sense of expectancy that God, that you would do something within our hearts as well. We lift up prayers for our friends, our family members, and for people across the world who are in need of your strength, who are in need of your love and healing. And God, just as you sent your Son thousands of years ago, we ask that you would send us out as your disciples so that we might be able to continue that ministry in whatever capacity that we can, multiplied by the strength of your Spirit. We take a moment of silence, and we ask that your Spirit would speak to us and reveal to us what we can do to be your disciples here and now today. Lord Jesus, we thank you because your message as you came to this earth was to proclaim that the kingdom and the reign of God was here. And as you ushered in that reign, we are living in it here and now today. And so we lift up our prayers as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.